Hello everyone, welcome again to Heart to Heart. Another lovely day that the Lord our God has made. And I thank Him for it. I see every day as another opportunity to serve the Lord, to do His will, to build up those of faith, be a blessing, to receive knowledge, might, wisdom, counsel, all from the Holy Spirit. The knowledge of the Lord is wonderful. And whenever He speak His word to me, when the word of the Lord just comes to you and He's helping you understand things, I love that. That's valuable to me. And that's one of the most exciting things that happens. God is good. And the reason people don't value His words is because they don't follow through. They don't know what, you know, what can happen. I hear more and more men of God saying that there's so much more that we're missing out on. There's so much more to God than what we expect. I'm telling you, when the foundation is laid, when things are in place, God can move and He can do a mighty work. But your faith is always required. We have to keep our faith on all times. When our faith is on, we're focused. We're focused on the Lord, and our eye is single. The only way to have a single eye is to love God and see Him in the light of faith. You have to see Him, you have to see His word. And the only way to see Him is to see Him through the word of God. You have to receive His word in your heart. So that means the more you understand of His word, when His word is in your heart, the more you'll be able to see Him. The more you'll be able to express the love that you receive from Him. The more you'll understand Him. And the more you'll fear Him. Not in an evil way, but you'll be in awe of God. And doing the wrong thing won't be an option. And you know, if you fear God, you don't fear the world at the same time. You can't fear but one at a time. If you love the world, then you don't fear God. See, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. You know, sometimes that's the introduction. The fear of the Lord is survival trust. You know that you don't, that God loves you and God is responsible for protecting heaven. And He's not going to let anything defile heaven. You know that God can do something. You know that God loves His people. You know that God is responsible. When people feared God, they drove out the Canaanites. When they feared God, they stayed away from idolatry. When they feared God, they were like the 7,000 who never bowed their knee to that foolish idol, Baal. They didn't care what the king said and all of his cronies and all the priests and whoever was. And remember, these 7,000 people were not in one place. They were scattered throughout the country. They didn't know who was who. You know, the people that were of the 7,000, they didn't know whether the other people that never bowed their knee, they didn't know what if they were a stranger, they didn't, you know, people don't... Strangers don't always communicate. But that was a remnant of 7,000 people in the whole country of Israel and Judah that never, ever in their life, under all the king's persuasion and Jezebel and the priests and all the people who gave in and compromised, they did not. And they probably felt just like Isaiah, that they were the only one. But whether I live or die, I will not bow down to Satan. I will not worship his nasty, powerless idol. And people in the world, they depend on people to agree with them. They act like you have to agree with me or you're my enemy. And I don't care what they think. I love God, and I'm not ashamed that I love God. I'm going to do God's will, whether I'm loved or hated. And I'm going to represent Him. And watch this. I'm going to love the people who hate me. Because I'm with God. If you stand on God's side, you're in the majority. Doesn't matter how many people are foolish. And most people are. Most people will compromise. A lot of ministries have compromised. You change your focus, you change your destiny, you change your direction. If you change your focus, you change your direction. Ministers who play with sin and get involved with sin and sinful acts and do things, they don't preach the same. They don't have the conviction is gone. Compromises make the lousiest soldiers. People who don't believe in what if they don't believe in what they're fighting for, they're a lousy soldier. I don't want to be in his platoon if he's compromised. I'd rather have a captain that wants to do that loves God and means it. But compromisers, they're the worst. They'll let the devil win. They don't see him as the bad guy. They don't see nothing wrong with the sins of this world. And there are many who lust after women. They just try not to get caught. I'm not going to live a lie in God's face. I love God, and I love everything about Him. Sometimes I say, Lord, I'm glad that You're God. I'm glad I'm glad You made me. I'm glad You made everything. And I look forward to seeing all the wonderful things of heaven. I said, Lord, I'm glad You're in charge of everything. Now on the earth, man is in charge. It's man's authority is still here. And the Lord, everything He does, He has to do through His people. Everything Jesus did on earth, He did it as a man. And He gave us an example in seed form, which will overcome the entire world, one way or another. See, the Lord works in seed form. He does something that will last and last and grow and last. You know, no matter what trouble you go through, no matter what has happened to you, if you stay in faith, you will outlast Satan. That will be a day when Satan won't exist anymore. In fact, I'm going to tell you when it is. This is the year. The 6,000 years are almost up. We don't have many more years here. And the Lord's going to have to return. All right? Once Jesus returns, He's going to set up a kingdom which will last 1,000 years. And after that 1,000 years, which is not a long time to God, Satan will be loose one more time to tempt whoever he can. And they're going to try. That's the last battle, the battle of Gog and Magog. He's going to raise up an army of the people who lived within the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And He's going to rally them against Christ. And then He'll be defeated once and for all, and then we'll have the final judgment, which is the white throne judgment. And there'll be no more sin, nowhere. Not on earth, not in heaven, not in the universe. Even in the days of the tribulation, Satan will be confined to this earth. He won't even have access into outer space anymore. So the fight's going to end in the Valley of Megiddo. And then He'll be locked away for 1,000 years. And then He'll be released one final time. And you'll never be bothered with Him again. He will be in the history pages. He will be the rogue angel that once was. We will have outlived Him and outlast Him. We will win. We will inherit the earth and everything and all the blessings of heaven. God is going to move. But God is not going to move mightily for compromisers. You know, people who compromise, they need to repent. They need to repent. We need to rededicate ourselves to God, to whatever we have to do. See, people who are dedicated to the Lord, they love people, and they fight like they mean it. They preach like they mean it. They preach with conviction. And they don't try to hide and find acting like an old politician, a bribe-taking politician. There's no way for no preacher to act. a cowardly judge who sells justice. What's the difference? A judge that sells justice, a politician that takes bribes, he has no conviction for what he's voting on, and a preacher that won't preach God's word. Isaiah said, you know, God's going to send us true preachers, true pastors that love the flock. He's going to give us pastors that love the people. Pastors that love people, they will contend. They will not let somebody come and scatter the sheep. They won't let a preacher come, another preacher come and ruin their church. When I talked about the times that the Lord sent me to churches, and as I got to know them, God would give me a message sometime, and they didn't want me to preach. Sometimes they were just trying, they were doing what they thought was right. Sometimes they saw me as a threat. They didn't know me. They didn't know what I, you know, they all they had to do is get to know me. But see, before I came, others would come and try to do, and, you know, immature preachers that were in for the wrong reasons. That would happen too. So when I came, you know, who are you? But the thing, you know, this is something that you have to understand. The anointing. The anointing. Sometimes you can judge things to be right by the anointing. And the way I do things, if I was a pastor in that position and somebody said they had a message, I would just talk to them and see what, and I would go to the Lord and ask the Lord. And the Lord would show me what to do and how to do it, what to say, what questions to ask if I had concerns. And they'll be welcome to minister. Because some of the elements we need are not going to come from where you're looking for them to come. Some of the elements that you need are going to come from other anointed people that have won battles to learn the things that they've learned. Sometimes they'll be younger than you. Sometimes they may be older than you. Jesus put it this way. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Did you know that that's just not the written word and the spoken word by the Holy Spirit, but it's also the spoken word from the Holy Spirit from others who are anointed? Now, if I was living on just what the Lord told me, and let's say the pastors that I've known and nobody else, I wouldn't be as far along spiritually as I've gotten, because there were ministers who were just starting out that said things. And if I had isolated other denominations, there are Methodist pastors that said things to help me grow. There are Baptist pastors that said things to help me grow. And there were Catholic pastors or priests that said things to help me grow. There were people on the radio. Some, and most of them, I didn't even know them. I heard them on TV, radio, or YouTube. But I received different elements of truth. And the Lord keep me in the Word of God. And when they say things, the Word of God can judge it. I judge things by the Word of God. We're supposed to judge prophecy. But we're also required to live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. And that includes people who are young. Anybody who speaks by the Holy Spirit. A child can speak by the Holy Spirit. In Balaam's case, a donkey spoke by the Holy Ghost. The Lord enabled him to speak. Not her. I mean, the Lord enabled her to speak. The donkey was a female. And she spoke from memory. The Lord loosed her tongue, her vocal cords. Now, so when the Lord is speaking, we need to listen. My boss, years ago, before he retired, he said, you know, to all the mechanics, if I tell, he said, JoJo was not the boss then. He was a mechanic helper or senior equipment service worker. And Bob said, if I tell JoJo to go and tell you something, you're required to do it. Because he's speaking in Bob's name. So if God can use any servant he want to use. And a lot of times people have disqualified people that God chose to send. The element that he tried to send you would have made a difference. It would have. Sometimes a word from somebody else can bring you back to balance. I don't know how many times the Lord has used my pastor, others, to bring me back to balance. To bring my, if you were trying to shoot a gun with a scope and it gets out of focus, you're not going to hit very much. But you have to fix the sights or the scope to you and how you shoot, because our body geometry is different. I can't set a scope up for me and give it to you to shoot with. Unless you're some kind of expert, you'll have to set that scope for you. Every hunter that buys a gun, they have to set the scopes or the sights to themselves, and they have to practice with it. They have to shoot many rounds from different angles for that gun to be how they need it to be. They're in focus, it's balanced, it's right. All right, in life, we get out of balance or we get out of focus, just like a scope. There are some things that, you know, the Lord wants to do, we're not used to it, and we can get out of focus. Or we can be off balance. And just like that scope, we have to make it true again. And sometimes the people that the Lord will use to make you true again, they may be younger, they may be older, they may be of another race. Might be a woman, might be a man, might be a boy, girl. You may even see a situation in nature, and the Lord will alert you to it and train you from it. We live by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. We live by all the revelation that he reveals. So one day I said, Lord, you send me to these pastors with the word. What did they tell me to my face? Don't ever speak a word to me again. And the Lord said, well, he said, if they do that, don't speak a word, but I will require them to know what I was supposed to tell, what you were supposed to tell them. And he'll judge them for not knowing when they had a chance to learn. See, I think it was Hosea. He talked about a lack of knowledge. He said, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Because they rebelled against knowledge. And then the Lord said, and I will forget your children. Yeah, he'll forget the children. Now, I got it right here. This is Hosea 4, verse 6. It says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou may be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. So, when people reject knowledge, they've changed the circumstances. They've taken an evil position. And to not hear something, what'll happen is they won't know what to do, and they'll be judged for rejecting an opportunity that the Lord did send. Because it all goes back, you know, everything works together. In Luke chapter 10, the Lord made something very plain. And it's certain. If the Lord sends somebody to minister to you, and you don't receive them, you're not just not receiving him. You're not receiving the one who sent them, which is Jesus. And you're not receiving Jesus, who God sent to you. So you're not receiving God. The prophet is subject to the prophet. And people turn it into some kind of spiritual competition. And it never was that. And the Lord loves us, and we're supposed to receive the people who the Lord is seeing. In His name. If the Holy Spirit selects somebody and anoints them, and then who has the right to disqualify them? All right, you, and then if you get out of balance or out of focus, your eyes not single anymore, and the Lord sends somebody to help you come back to balance, or to show you another aspect of knowledge that you need, and you don't receive them because of pride, then you're going to continue in your way, and then God's going to have to judge you for it. But if you receive something, then you know all you're going to miss so many opportunities. The faster we live in a focused manner, the faster we are true to God and do His word and speak His word, we'll be able to capture the opportunities that's going to come. All the people that the Lord sent to the ministry, if you're more balanced and focused, then the Lord is going to be able you're going to be a blessing to them. They're going to grow stronger. They'll be able to get better jobs because they have more wisdom. They'll be able to, the healing process will increase in them. And over time, they will increase. They'll be more valuable to their bosses, the companies they work for. They'll be more, they'll pay more tithes. See, the Lord looks at everything. And you're a minister, right? And then the children will have more hope because their parents are prospering the correct way. They're not fighting anymore. Did you know Christians fight? They have fuss matches right in front of their children. Then they go to church and confuse their children. But when people are focused and they're looking at the Lord, the fighting will stop. The fuss matches will stop. The children will be more inspired. And when parents get off track, when they're off focus, the children get off focus. And their children go to college thinking about their parents, worried about their mother, worried about their father, hating to come home on the holidays, because the pastor was not focused enough to help them get focused again, because he got off focus. See, when your focus changes, your direction changes. And when you don't build with the Holy Spirit, you scatter. And every time these pastors, they miss so many opportunities. The Lord will send people to the churches, but they did it their way and not God's way. And they always, 100% of the time, scattered the people God sent. And sometimes they had a team. The Lord had assembled a team of people. Now, I'm not saying this out of speculation. I'm saying this because the Lord was training me. And he showed me things. He gave me dreams about it, visions. He told me what was happening. He spoke a word of knowledge to me. I knew what was going on. The Lord didn't require me to say I knew what was going on. He required me to tell them the word He gave, which was usually follow me. And he gave me instructions for them to draw near to the Lord, to follow Him. See, the faster you get focused on the Lord and you do it His way, a lot of problems are going to be healed. But when you do it another way, you're going to scatter. So when the Lord tried to reach them to prevent this from happening, they did it their way, scattered the sheep. They never went. They never hit the mark because they were all focused. And then they built wrong. The Holy Spirit couldn't rest on their ministry. And they just got a few people saved and a few people blessed. And they're still struggling. They never became the ministry God intended them to become. They never grew to what God saw. And I know this because he taught me what would happen when people follow him. I saw the visions. I was there. I saw the potential. I got excited about it and disappointed as they made south decisions instead of north decisions. They followed what they thought was best. Other preachers they looked up to. They didn't look up to me. They saw me as a threat. And you know, I'm not offended. I'm just saying this is what happened. And I said, man, and it's not necessary. Now, this is the other problem I had. I didn't have nobody I could really tell these things to. There was very few people that I could share these things with. My friend Odie Berry, me and him could talk. He's an apostle, too. And he went through some of the things as well. And we talked about it. But we love these pastors. There was no love lost. I was grieved when the ministries didn't do what I knew it could do. But I gave them warning. I wrote the words. What will happen if they follow God? What will happen if they don't? They still got the paper somewhere. If they didn't throw it away, they can't do nothing but remember it. Now, when anybody speaks under the unction of the Holy Spirit, it is detectable. And along with that, I'm sure the Lord, see, the Holy Spirit is a gentleman. If you're making a decision, any kind of decision you shouldn't make, if you don't really know, and if you're really not sure, he'll convict you on the inside. Just like when you first got saved, if you sinned or had an evil thought, you had conviction so that you could do something about it. But if you keep on, the conviction won't, you'll override, you'll harden your heart against the conviction. So when a person say, I got a word from the Lord, if your heart is hard, you can discount it and never even get back to them, never act like it, never act like they said nothing, act like it's not important. And if I did minister at a place, I started realizing, I started seeing the pattern. I said, they're not going to want me to minister here but once. I said, the first time I ministered at this church would be the last time. I started seeing that pattern. And so many churches before I got to where I'm at now, and most of them, if I preached there, it wouldn't be but once. And, you know, and that's designed to hurt your feelings. But I said, this is not personal. This is something else is going on. The enemy don't want the word of God to be released to get people back in focus. But if I learned this too, if the pastor don't get, if he don't get in focus, if his eye's not single, his direction will change. And his influence will cause his congregation's direction to change as well. I'm not saying this out of a whim. This is what the Lord revealed to me. I lived it. I saw it. Because there was one church I was able to minister there for years. See, all pastors are not the same. There's some good ones out there. I mean, and some of them are less fearful. And they love you, you know. But many of them, if I minister somewhere, I wouldn't minister back. There won't, you know, it's just the way it was. And so I said, well, and the Lord would always give me revelation, but I just didn't have a vehicle to preach it. Oral Roberts, he didn't pastor. I remember one time the Lord gave him a message, but he didn't have a church to preach it at. And he told a pastor friend of his, like, the Lord gave me a message, but I don't have a church to preach it at. And the pastor invited him. He wanted him to come. And I still remember that word. And it was a good one. And it was a word of dedication. See, the right word at the right time, there's going to be an audience that will receive it. And if it's spoken at on time, the Holy Spirit can use that message to help people get back in focus so that they can have the best of life. A ministry out of focus, and they're not focused on the Lord anymore. If their focus changed, their direction would change. The children's parents will keep fighting and bickering. And then I've seen it with my own eyes, heard it with my own ears. The children say, well, I ain't getting married. I don't want to go through that pain. But they'll shack up so that if it don't work, they can leave. Not in sin. See, one thing starts another problem. And they feel justified because their parents didn't do right. They never learned to love according to 1 Peter. They missed the point. Now, they didn't mean to derail their children in life, but they were so focused on their anger and their frustrations and the way that they were mistreated on their job, and they brought their crap home and they fought. And the children didn't see everything. They just see them fighting. Because people don't talk about the embarrassing things, how that, they get skipped over for promotion, and they were the backbone of the company.